Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, and today's episode is all about monitoring your heart rate variability to improve pain, fatigue, and mood disorders. Now, a lot of people think of heart rate variability in terms of the Fitbit kind of thing, looking at your heart rate, but also in terms of other devices related to athletes and determining if they've recovered from their training. Well, oddly enough, or maybe to our benefit, looking at heart rate variability benefits us in a lot of different ways. Because overtraining in an athlete shows stress on that athlete's body. You don't have to be an athlete to have stress effects on your body. It does become worse when you are an athlete and you have lifestyle stress stuff too, but as a regular Joe, you have a lot of different ways that your body's screaming out basically and telling you, hey, there's a problem here, you need to help me fix it. But unfortunately, a lot of us are not too in tuned with our bodies, or when our heart rate speeds up, it makes us anxious and we get nervous, and then we end up going down these black holes of, oh my God, am I dying? Am I having a heart attack? What's happening? Or we might be going down those lovely Dr. Google and YouTube and internet holes, freaking ourselves out because unfortunately what you see on the internet is the worst case scenarios of what's going to happen with these situations. And too many people come into my office completely freaked out when they can't get their blood pressure under control, when they can't get their heart rate under control. And honestly, it's just a sign that your body's like, hey, hello, I'm here, and I need you to communicate with me and help me fix this problem. So what is it when our heart rate doesn't respond well? Well, what this is it's not actually, this heart rate variability isn't really the measure of just your heart rate. It's actually the intervals between your beats of your heart. Now, when someone is stressed, they commonly will have irregular heartbeat patterns, something called premature ventricular contractions, otherwise known as PVCs. And what these are like little contractions before the big lub dub. So it's almost like the heart's trying to beat, but then it can't, and then it does, and then it can't fully, and then it does. It's a disordered mechanism of heartbeat. Now, will premature ventricular contractions kill you? Not in and of themselves, but yet they can lead to other issues with heart rate variability. And these are kind of some of the warning signs that your body will give to you that something's not right. So monitoring your heart rate variability is really great because it can help you to dial in your health. It can reduce fatigue and pain. It can also improve your focus and mood and your social life. Now, that might sound really bizarre and like, how the heck are all these connected? Well, I'm going to talk to you about that today. And I'm going to start it in a case of a story. Because for me, I like to talk about healthcare in terms of stories because it just is more relatable, I think, but also because you might be this person or you might identify with aspects of this particular individual. So very commonly in my practice, one, because I work with pain management a lot, Two, because I'm a naturopathic doctor, and unfortunately folks who slip through the conventional medicine cracks end up in my office trying, you know, desperately and searching desperately to find answers to their issues. And in my office, I've probably mentioned multiple times before on this podcast, I do tend to have some pretty complicated patients. And heart rate variability monitoring can be extremely useful for some of my patients who are extremely fatigued, who are just in a lot of pain. So fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome with that, put menopause on top of that, put just feeling grumpy and sad and angry. And most of the time these folks, you know, because of their situation that they're not happy, they're hating life, they're just grumpy, they lose a lot of their social connections. And so they're disconnected in life, they're isolated. And this to me happens over and over again with a lot of people I see. I don't know, that's not true, because today we're going to talk all about that connection. I don't understand how people have let it go this far, let me put it that way. That's what it doesn't, I just, and my heart goes out to these folks. And so that's part of the reason why I do this podcast once a week, is because I'm trying to put out to the universe these little signs our body tells us, like our heart rate speeding up and slowing down and not being able to adjust after a stressful event. These are little signs that a lot of people experience before big issues happen, like chronic fatigue, chronic pain syndromes, heart disease, even depression, anxiety, social isolation, hermit status, if you will. And so I really want folks to kind of think about this particular patient. So the one in particular that I'm going to dedicate this podcast to is a patient of mine who is in her early 50s. She came into my office hobbling, just lack of energy, just really apathetic, just like what you would describe as a lump on a log kind of appearance, and just dressed frumpy, just sad, you know? And every time I see a patient like that, it breaks my heart, because I know that there's someone inside there that wants to get out, that doesn't want to be this sad person. On top of it, she's grumpy. And she's short with me. She's not particularly nice to me. She's basically there to see if I've got something for her to help her. And if I don't, she's going to move on, because she jumps through doctors very fast if no one can find something wrong with her. And, you know, I'm used to this. It used to bother me. It used to drain me quite a bit. This would be the type of individual that could be an energy vampire. But I have this inner drive to go, okay, we've got some things we can fix here. So when I dive into this gal's background, she's talking about how she used to be this go, 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 do, do, do type of personality. And this is very common. And if you've listened to other of my podcasts, this is a common thread here. The go, 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 do, do, do driven individuals tend to set themselves up for ending up with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, all of these chronic autoimmune types of issues. Add on top of that, mood disorders. And it's awful, but I see it over and over again. And the common link with all of this is that individual pushed themselves to the limits, didn't pay attention to their body signs of stress, just kept going. And some of it may not be fault of their own. Maybe they had different life situations they had to deal with. But the bottom line is, this is an individual whose fight or flight system became dysregulated. The autonomic nervous system became dysregulated. And then what ended up happening is they started to become tired. Their digestive system became trash. They weren't absorbing nutrients like they used to. They started to gain weight. Maybe they were runners before. By the way, that's a common thread here. Anybody who loves to run tends, and who is a go, 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 do, do, do person, tends to also have a common thread with somewhere around menopause, that the body's ability to be able to handle stressors and the fight or flight response, keeping in check, it just hits a wall. And I do know that that is because you know, menopause has a lot to do with hormonal balance. It has a lot to do with our adrenal glands and really how you are headed into menopause. The healthier you are before you hit menopause, the better off you're going to be as you age. But these are the folks who just didn't take care of themselves. Chances are they were running to try to get that endorphin high, try to get their heart rate back in check, because exercise does help with your heart rate. Sometimes we have that drive that tells us we got to exercise, we got to do something. But yet these folks struggle with that ability to do something and be too tired to do something about it. And so the immune system, the digestive system, and the nervous system start to become more and more dysregulated. Now, that all starts to play into brain center dysregulation. And now we end up with mood and motivation issues. So what seemingly starts with a little bit of heart rate issues in terms of panic attacks, the heart speeding up, things of that nature, jumping when there's loud noises, not being able to calm down after being stressed, starts to cause more issues. A lot of times anxiousness and digestive issues go together, but also will end up with autoimmune types of conditions. And sometimes it can go back and forth between the autoimmune types of conditions and the nervous system issues. Nervous system issues could be chronic pain, but it could also be that mood and motivation. So bottom line here is that long stress over time interferes with the brain centers, and we end up having trouble regulating mood and motivation. So we become more and more depressed, more and more antisocial, and more lumps on logs, which in turn turns us to be grumpy, because a lot of these ladies who come into my office who are telling me they've gained 40, 50, 100 pounds since their 40s when they stopped running and they were happy and life was great before, and then they hit a wall. This is over and over again in my practice, and it just makes me so sad, because it doesn't have to be that way if you can listen to your body's triggers that it's like, hello, help me, I can't balance myself out anymore. So when you learn to identify these types of events or situations that trigger stress for you, you can be more in tune with your body. That way, you've got a lot more in terms of tools to be able to help you to chill out, get your stress in check, get the triggers in check that set you off, so that you don't end up becoming lump on a log status. Or if you are lump on a log status right now, and I'm not trying to knock on you, I'm totally not. This is a real deal situation. This isn't good. It's because your body has lost its ability to regulate stress. It's not your fault. It's no one's fault. I'm not here to blame anybody. It's just what happens naturally, because we unfortunately are still cavemen and our bodies don't know how to keep up with the fast-paced society that we have right now. And because we have so many different responsibilities, we lose that intuitive sense in our body. We lose that connection to our body and how to regulate things naturally without having to go for medications and things of that nature. So heart rate variability readings can help us to really adjust pain and mood, depression, anxiety, your response to even foods, your response to blood sugar imbalances, and of course, the response to stress. Because all of those different things, the pain, the mood, the depression, the anxiety, blood sugar imbalances, irregular processing of food, food sensitivities, these all contribute to fatigue. They all wear you out. All of those different stressors wear you out. And your heart rate variability is a direct reflection of how all those different things play into dysregulating your nervous system. So we have all these cool devices now that can measure heart rate variability, and it runs the gamut in terms of what you're comfortable with. And I'm going to talk a little bit about those later on in the podcast, but I want to go back into this heart rate variability thing, because I think for a lot of folks, we're familiar that there's apps on our phones. We know that we can wear a watch that can measure our heart rate variability. We know that there's heart rate monitors that we can put, like the chest strap monitors, we can put those on. And now the company Elite HRV has even a cool little finger sensor that's coming out in May or June of 2018 that you can sense your heart rate variability on the fly without having to wear a heart rate monitor. And that's pretty cool. So, okay, let's get back to what is this heart rate variability doing? It's measuring your autonomic nervous system. This is your nervous system That is your fight or flight, but also your rest and digest. It is what keeps you in check. It's known as your homeostasis nervous system. And if you're not a science geek like me, or you didn't go to any classes in biology, or maybe you fell asleep through them, homeostasis is the art that your body goes through. So your body's own art of keeping things in balance physiologically. So your autonomic nervous system responds to every single thing you do. It's how you exercise, how much you recover, what you eat, how much you sleep, how you perceive stress, pain, relationships, etc. So it's constantly monitoring. It's kind of like your system's check-in. But the heart rate variability is the way you can see where your system's at. Kind of like a daily basis as to like, how am I doing? Am I doing okay managing stress? Because for a lot of my patients, some of them don't even know they're stressed, and others don't have the first clue if what they're doing is working. Take yourself, for example. Have you ever tried to meditate and you're like, am I doing all right? I don't know. Is it helping me with stress? I don't know. Do I have any variable measures that I can see in front of me to prove that this is actually working? This is where heart rate variability testing helps. It helps give you concrete data that shows you you're doing a good job, or these are your triggers. Here's where you need to work on. And so heart rate variability is looking at the exact changes in time between heartbeats. So it's the inner beat interval, if you will. So in between. And it's looking at your adaptability. And what it does is these programs are written with certain algorithms to learn what your normal autonomic nervous system patterns look like. And it gives you an insight into what's happening in your nervous system every single day. How stressed are you? What things stress you? So you would be looking related to the time of the day. You would also be looking at recovery from activity, because unfortunately, a lot of folks who are extremely fatigued, they tend to not do much physical activity. And a lot of conventional docs will be like, well, if you're tired, you probably shouldn't be doing much. You should be resting. Oh boy, that is not good, because you're pretty much just going to lay down and die at that point. And then that's worrisome to me. And so the heart rate variability is going to give you ways to improve those patterns over time that is found that have dysregulated your autonomic nervous system, which is super cool. So let's talk a little bit about how this whole heart rate variability stuff started. So back in 1975, a doc named Dr. Benson wrote a book called The Relaxation Response. And the book was sparked from what he'd seen in his office in the 60s that patients would get nervous when they went to the doctor's office and their heart rates would go up. So this common case of white coat syndrome. It is the reason why I do not own a lab coat. In fact, if you come to my office, I'm wearing pretty normal clothes. I'm going to wear my pajamas to office, but you know, I do wear an apron that is typical to what a waiter would wear, so that I can put my oil in one side and my lighter in the other, so that I can, you know, run around and do cupping and acupuncture on folks. But I will not wear a lab coat. We actually had lab coats in my acupuncture school, and I found that odd, because I'm like, man, here we are trying to chill people out with needles, and then I'm putting on a white coat. Like, what the heck is this? And then when I went to my clinic for naturopathic medicine, we never wore the white coat. So it was this really interesting balance. I don't know what to say about it, but that's a fun little side story for you there. But Dr. Benson's work in recognizing that folks do have increased heart rates when they go to the doctor, especially with this quote, white coat syndrome, led to heart rate variability studies. So let's recap here. If a person is in more of a fight or flight mode and they're kind of stuck in that mode, which I find most of my patients who have chronic pain, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia states are, that means that they've got a variation between subsequent heartbeats that is low. And that's not good. the lower your heart rate variability, the weaker your vagus nerve is. And if you're wondering what the vagus nerve is, it's cranial nerve 10. I talked about it a lot in my previous podcast to this one, so head over to check that one out if you're wondering about the vagus nerve more. But the vagus nerve is your main nerve that is in charge of what's happening with your autonomic nervous system. It senses a lot of things. It goes literally from your brainstem and your cerebellum, your very primal parts of your brain and brainstem, and it comes down. It goes through your throat. It goes through your heart. It goes through your lungs. It goes through the diaphragm. It goes into all of your intestinal and organs, your stomach, and goes down to your bladder. It goes to your ureters. It even goes to the female sex organs. And so you've got a lot of travel of this vagus nerve. And this vagus nerve is what is sensing from the body what's up, takes message up to the brain, and the message comes back down from the brain, and we decide what to do about these particular stressors. And so because the vagus nerve has a lot to do with your heart rate, it is directly connected to your heart rate variability. So someone who has good vagal tone is also going to have what we call a high heart rate variability, meaning that this individual is going to be able to switch gears really quickly between stressed and not stressed. Whereas those who are constantly stressed have low vagal tone or a low heart rate variability, they get stressed and they can't recover as well. They stay in that mode for longer. The theory here is that healthier individuals, so folks who have a healthy autonomic nervous system, is one who can change gears quickly between stressed, not stressed. And over the past few decades, we've seen research showing this over and over again, and in particularly the relationship between low heart rate variability and mood disorders, and in particular worsening of anxiety, depression, social isolation. The other thing that's been highly associated with low heart rate variability is an increased risk of death and cardiovascular disease. One of the other interesting connections here is that we have a neurochemical known as oxytocin. It is the neurochemical that is released when we feel happy and loved. And a lot of times you'll see couples who are really, really close and they go through life together and one of them dies. And within weeks to months later, the other one dies. And we'll say that the individual died of a broken heart. My question becomes, did that individual die of low heart rate variability because of the stress of their close loved one dying and the lack of oxytocin? I'll talk about oxytocin a little bit later in this podcast, but I see it over and over again, and I'm sure each and every one of you have heard that story about that, but I find it interesting. Another thing that I find interesting is folks who live longer tend to be able to deal with stress better. That's kind of what I'm alluding here. But I listened to a podcast. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been how this was built. But it was the owner of or the founder of Southwest Airlines. He's 85 years old, and he was describing how he deals with stress. And he was like, I just ignore it. I'll have a drink. I guess he likes whiskey, and I guess he eats cheese crackers for breakfast. That was what I was listening to on the podcast. But, you know, obviously, and he still smokes. So this guy is definitely not your picture of health, but it explains a little bit on the theory with why folks who have all these interesting characteristics in terms of diet and lifestyle can live as long as this fella does. It goes back to your ability to be able to deal with stress. And gosh knows, the story of Southwest Airlines is up and down, and it's very interesting. But my point being here is this fella talked about his ability to manage stress and not letting things bother him. And, you know, some people say that they don't let things bother them, but they do. But in this case, for this fella, it appears that he's doing something right with his heart rate variability. I don't know. Just something to put out there for you to kind of ponder, because I think a lot of us think about, well, how come we do all these different things to be the healthiest individual possible? We eat organic, we eat clean, we do this, we do that, we exercise, but we still die young. The key component here that everyone needs to think about is stress management. So that's why I'm talking about heart rate variability. There you have it. All right, so let's jump back into the podcast. I am definitely digressing a little bit today. So what compounds this is if your heart rate variability is low, meaning you are stuck in fight or flight response, you can't get into the rest or digest very easily, you basically just can't chill out very easily, then that combined with you are inflamed, meaning you've got chronic pain, you have chronic gut issues on top of that. Maybe you have rheumatoid arthritis, maybe you have osteoarthritis, maybe you have skin conditions like eczema or psoriasis. This is going to be interesting to watch you improve. Now, how does that go? Well, basically, if you improve your low heart rate variability and you turn it into a high heart rate variability, guess what? You're going to lower your inflammation. And I've seen this over and over again. So let's go back to my patient that I was talking about, who was my lump on a log. She was in her 50s. She came in my office completely dysregulated, essentially was running in her 40s, was feeling good, started to notice digestive system issues, body kind of going out of balance when she hit menopause, and now she is depressed, anxious, antisocial, chronic pain, and just not feeling well. So what I did with her is I started to do acupuncture on her regularly. As I mentioned in my vagus nerve podcast, the one prior to this one, episode 73, I talk about acupuncture as being a great tool to improve your vagal tone. So improve your body's ability to fight stress. What we started to notice is that she started to have improved moods, a little bit more energy. Now, I don't want anyone to think that this happened in a month. It didn't. I've been seeing this woman for 4 years. I still continue to see her to this day. She's dropped most of the weight that she gained. She's moving well. She is not back to running, but to be honest with you, I don't think that running was the best sport for her. She actually rows. She's kayaking now. She's out on the water as much as she can. She's feeling great. And she has friends. She has friends that are in the kayaking group that she rows and kayaks with. And so what I've seen is going someone that's gone from a lump on a log to someone that's now more mobile, someone that's eating better, has the motivation to take care of herself, but also now has friends. Before, she was not a very happy person, so she had kind of alienated herself a little bit from her friends. And now she has friends. And she has a social life. And I'm starting to see her wear more put together clothes, not so frumpy clothes. She's kind of coming out of her shell. It's almost like a flower blooming. It's quite cool to see. But it's taken 4 years. It's taken some time. And in that time, we've been working on her heart rate variability. We worked with the Muse. This is a device that I talked about, the brain sensing headband. She's been using that. She also has her heart rate variability sensor, which in her case, we chose to use a watch-based type of device, not a band that goes around the chest. But the watch is doing well for her because it's telling her when to breathe. It's telling her when to walk. It's telling her, you know, when she needs to move. It's telling her when she's not doing well with sleeping. And all of those different data points are playing in to helping her with their overall health. Now, we started with a Fitbit with her, and then we switched to a device that's known as the Whoop. It is something that has been used in the CrossFit community for a very long time. Not a very long time, but for the last year and a half or so. It's more of an expensive device, and I don't often recommend it first. In fact, my favorite is using the Elite HRV devices, but we didn't have the finger device that's coming out now, and she didn't really want to wear the chest monitor because of her size. And that's something to keep in mind. You know, the heart rate monitors that go around the chest can be super compressive if you are a larger individual. So for her, the watch worked. And we met on a monthly basis at first, and then we broke it out to every 3 months, and then we broke it out to every 6 months in terms of talking about her goals and how she was doing. She also met with a nutritionist. She met with a counselor to help her to work through her fight or flight responses. And in particular, she met up with a counselor who worked with skill-based counseling, not just talk-based. This is skill-based, meaning you have a stressor, this is how you deal with it. And I was working with her to look at her heart rate and notice when things, so that variability, noticing the connection between certain stressors throughout the day. I also would have her do a journal, everything she did in a day, and also the types of food she was eating in a day. And we did this for probably over a year, which you might be thinking that's nuts, but you know what? If you know what you're putting in your mouth and you know what times you're putting things in your mouth, you can get a real good sense of what you might react to and how much you're eating. So data is king here. And with this gal, we did a lot of data tracking and it took time. Thank goodness for MyFitnessPal. Thank goodness for a lot of these free apps that are out there. But she's really starting to come along and it's like a flower opening up. I can't express my feelings on it other than it's like this whole new person and it's really cool to see. Now, do I get this response with 100% of my patients? God, I wish I did. No. This gal was very dedicated, very motivated. And here's the thing. If you are willing to make the change and you're willing to put in the time to figure your body out, it's going to give you all the signals that you need to help get you healthy. All you need is a couple folks to motivate you around along the way and help you with modulating your response to those triggers. Once you get that down, it's all good. So let's talk a little bit about people with high HRVs. So those folks who are really adaptable to stress. These are your folks that are going to have a greater cardiovascular fitness. They're the ones that are going to be able to sprint really fast, then slow down and walk and sprint and run. And these are the folks that are going to be more resilient to stress. And these are the folks that are typically going to be younger because unfortunately, as life goes on, we tend to not listen to our body and push it to the limits. That is why these folks that these gals in particular that I see that are going into menopause, if they were runners before and they were pushing with the running to try to, you know, work out some of their stress, they pushed it too much. They ran too much in addition to life and social events and taking care of kids and possibly parents and things of that nature. The amount of things just compounded. Top that off with maybe a divorce in between and you've got a whole storm of things that are going to cause issues. But it is truly fascinating to me to see how watching the heart rate variability changes and as you incorporate in more of the things that you need to do to modulate how stress affects you. So I'm a person who loves data. I love numbers. And it's a great way. This is, looking at heart rate variability is a great way to be able to figure out how different stressors affect you and how you react to your environment, but also your emotions, your thoughts and feelings. Because I think for a lot of people, we're still stuck in the thought process of, well, I'm still alive and moving. Stress hasn't gotten me yet. But we don't think about the day-to-day. I have so many people who'll come in my office and say, I'm not stressed. I don't feel stressed. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm great. But, you know, my stomach hurts all the time. This happens, that happens. And you're like, okay, you're just not as connected to your body. And we just got to get you connected. And so I just love heart rate variability testing to be able to help folks to connect back with their body. So let's talk a little bit here about the social aspects of what happens with folks in terms of disconnecting from their social contacts and stress. Now, one of the most profound studies that just came out in March of 2017 was a University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine study that found that young adults in the US who use social media more often than other peers found that they were more socially isolated. And so the more we socially isolate ourselves, the lower heart rate variability we have. In 2009, a study in health psychology showed that participants in that study with symptoms of depression who felt socially isolated had lower HRV. And so when these individuals in that health psychology study engaged face-to-face with family or friends, guess what? Their parasympathetic response to HRV increased. So they started to have a higher heart rate variability. So one of the things that I want folks to think about in this case is a lot of times we give up time with family members to work. We give up time with friends and social connections to work. And guess what we get out of it? More stressed, lower heart rate variability. So what I'm saying here is that sitting on your computer liking a bunch of things on Facebook might not be helpful for your overall health. Calling a friend, meeting a friend to go out for a walk might be the best damn thing you could do for your health. And unfortunately, I know our lives are busy. We don't connect with friends as much as we should. I know I am totally guilty of it. And seeing all these studies and reviewing for this podcast again made me go, holy cow, yeah, I really do need to make it more of a point to meet with friends versus texting them and be like, hey, how's your day? Hey, here's a picture of me doing this. Hey, here's a picture of me doing that on Facebook. What have we become? And how is this impacting us? Well, I'm wondering why we have so many people that are depressed. It's because we don't have that connection. And that face-to-face connection, remember when I was talking about earlier in the podcast about oxytocin? That's when we get a huge release of oxytocin. That's that happy feel, want to connect type of neurochemical that I think a lot of us are missing out on that. Because yes, there's been studies that the more likes you get on a picture on Facebook that you've posted, you get more oxytocin release, but there is nothing like the real deal face-to-face connection. So there you go. I don't want to beat that one. I think we all kind of know it. I think we just, you know, it is what it is. There's even been studies that have shown that you're wiser and more social when you have a higher HRV. And it makes sense because when you don't feel good, you're depressed, you're anxious, you don't want to go out and socialize. But if you work on it, you might end up seeing that your social life turns around. Kind of like in the case of my patient I talked about today. I mean, she is like a social butterfly now. And she had like, I don't even think she had any friends besides just family back 4 years ago. I can almost guarantee that. It's much different now. So if you're looking for trying to be a little bit more social and wanting to feel more comfortable in your skin, work on your heart rate variability first and then see what happens and see how things develop for you. So let's talk about heart rate variability for a second here in terms of the devices that are out there. Now, the gold standard, of course, is to look at your electrocardiogram, which is this strip that's going to tell you, you're going to hook up to electrodes and you're going to tell you exactly how your heart rate, you know, looks. And this is typically what we've done in medical offices for years. And there's things called Holter monitors that we've put on folks as well to measure heart rate variability to determine what was going on with folks. But that's hard to do and expensive to keep doing that day in, day out. I think it was like $800 the last time I checked in terms of insurance bill out on a one day, so a 24-hour Holter monitor. And so the easiest and cheapest way to look at your heart rate variability is to strap on a chest monitor. My favorite two heart rate monitors that you can strap on your chest, so chest monitors, are the Polar 10 and the Wahoo. The Polar 10 goes for about $80. The Wahoo goes for about $50. Like I said before, with my one patient, she was a larger person, so the chest monitors just didn't feel so good. So that's why we decided to go with the Whoop device with her. But the Elite HRV company, so elitehrv.com is the company that I use for their app to help patients analyze data now. The gal I was talking about earlier in my practice, we've used a variety of different things because the technology wasn't there when I first started working with her. So It's come a long way since this gal and I started working together, and probably I will migrate her over to the finger HRV device from Elite HRV as soon as it comes out. Right now, it's, you can pre-purchase it for $145, and it's going to be released in May or June of 2018. But I find it really fascinating that now they've got the finger device, and it's just a lot easier, because I would vote for using that versus having to wear a watch or use the chest strap device, which the chest strap is what I use. And especially for anyone who is an athlete, the chest strap devices are a little bit more accurate. However, for the day-to-day data, the finger device is quite a good concept. And so when I'm talking about this app with Elite HRV, the app runs around, well, my professional one's $8 a month. It's not really expensive, but it's a great tool to have to be able to check how you're doing. And $8 plus a device that's, you know, somewhere between 50, 80, depending on if you do the chest strap or the 145 for the finger device. It's a small investment to learn how to regulate your autonomic nervous system. And really, it's a small investment to be able to prevent yourself from having serious neuroimmune inflammation down the road. Because really, if you can't regulate stress in your autonomic nervous system, otherwise known as your automatic nervous system, that's how I used to teach it to my students in anatomy and physiology when I taught. If you can't regulate that, and that's your immune, or sorry, that's your nervous system, then all of this autoimmune conditions, all this other stuff is just like waiting to develop for you. And really, I do think Darwin was right. In our ability to adapt to stress, the survival of the fittest really boils down to your ability to deal with stress. And so getting your heart rate variability in check and your ability to regulate your autonomic nervous system in check, you are setting yourself up to be a lot healthier than folks down the road. So something to keep in mind. Just a big, big deal. So what have we went through today? What have I talked about? Really, the main thing here is if you can adjust your heart rate variability and get a high heart rate variability, so being able to adapt, you're going to have such better response to stress. You're going to have better memory. You're going to have better attention. You're going to have better focus. You're going to be able to ward off depression, anxiety, sleep disorders. You're going to engage socially just fine. You won't be socially weird as much as you might think you are. You might not socially isolate as much. And then the biggies is the heart. Because for women, we don't think about the fact that heart disease and whatnot is one of our top killers. And high blood pressure is rampant. I've got too many people in my practice in their 20s on high blood pressure medication. That's not right. Clearly, we have some stressed out individuals. Heart attacks, sudden heart, you know, death, so sudden cardiac arrest, kidney dysfunction, diabetes, cancer, these are all traced back to being able to regulate your nervous system, because your nervous system has an effect on every single one of your organs, and ladies, especially with your hormones and things of that nature. So really, if you study your HRV and you really pay attention to how you respond to stress and you get on top of those triggers, you can work on not only how you age physiologically, but how you age mentally. And I find it absolutely huge in that case. So what do I recommend? Well, there's a couple different folks out there online who have talked about what to do to regulate your vagus nerve and your heart rate variability. I highly recommend getting either a chest strap monitor and the Elite HRV device. They have a podcast. They have a really great breakdown of why HRV monitoring is huge for you. I highly recommend you to head over to elitehrv.com and check it out. That's the number one thing I would have you do, because I've tried really hard to work with folks with breathing exercises, meditation, and things of that nature. And until you can see for yourself how stress truly affects you, I don't think that that connection 100% gets there. Yes, I've had people who I've worked very diligently with to help with this connection, and we've done awesome. And I'll be honest, the woman I talked about in this podcast, I did use herbs, nutrition, and some supplements in terms of some nutraceuticals, so vitamin supplements, to help get her to where she is today. And I do think that for a lot of people to be able to deal with stress, you should see either a naturopathic doctor or a functional medicine doctor to help you with your, give you like a step up on your response to stress. Because I do think that we need some herbs such as Siberian ginseng, holy basil, ashwagandha, rhodiola, Romania root. Those are like my favorite herbs to help us to adapt to stress. I really do think that they're useful, and having someone who's knowledgeable, even an acupuncturist who has been trained in herbs, can be extremely useful in this case. By that being said, getting yourself an acupuncturist. Acupuncture is phenomenal. And I do think in the early stages with the gal that I talked about in this practice, or in my practice, who I helped turn into this amazing blossoming flower, I mean, she did it herself. Let me just put it this way. I didn't help. I guided. Excuse my words. I guided her to do this. But like, wow. What I'm looking at is the acupuncture, I think, very beginnings was crucial to helping her autonomic nervous system. Now, folks like Christopher Berglund, he is very vocal in terms of writing articles for Psychology Today about vagus nerve attenuation, and he even has a survival guide, and I have a link to that on my podcast notes at docjkrausend.com. I don't even know my own website anymore. But anyway, he is amazing in terms of his aspect here. Even Dave Asprey, bulletproof guy there, he's got some ideas in terms of working on your jaw and working on hot and cold therapy, and cold in particular. And selfhack.com, there's a great article on 32 ways to stimulate your vagus nerve. And those are all extra things, I think, as much as you could possibly incorporate to help you to deal with stress and how you deal with your stress triggers. Using all that, it's not just one magical tool. But the HRV monitoring is so useful because we're not connected to our bodies very well. And technology can help us in this case. And having a good acupuncturist on board, perhaps a naturopathic doctor, a functional medicine doctor on board, a counselor and a nutritionist, and boom, you've got four people that can help you incredibly get you back on track. And I will have all of the details of my four folks that I think you need to have and my herbs I mentioned earlier on my website at docjkrausend.com, so you can review that, see what you think, see what, you know, might help you. But once you know what your triggers that stress you out are, then you can adjust to them. You can find workarounds, you can get your life back on track, start enjoying life again, and not be a lump on a log. Nobody wants to be that. So I hope you found this podcast useful and with some nuggets of information. I am going to keep the conversation on heart rate variability going just one more podcast. My next one is all about exercise and heart rate variability, not in the terms of elite athletes, not in the terms of anything super technical, but I'm going to give you my story in terms of how exercise has helped me to recover from a lot of the stressors in my life, but also how I use it to help me deal with stress day in, day out, and how you can use it day in, day out on a regular individual's level, not on an athlete level. All right, you've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your day, whatever you're doing. Thanks for tuning in to The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausend.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the join group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.